Our next storyteller is a writer, a long-distance runner, and he's the director of the Western Slope Conservation Center. Please welcome Alex Johnson.
So thank you for allowing me to tell a story tonight, for forming this wonderful event, for all of you gathering together to listen to this, to the various stories that we will share tonight. I think it's a really powerful thing we do as a community, and really glad that we continue to do so. And I guess I thank you as well, because this is a story I've been wanting to tell for years, and never have in its entirety. And however improbably, it starts on the very same day as the story I told at the last storytelling performance, when my husband Pete and I were running for our lives on the White Mountains above treeline in a thunderstorm with the birds skittering around. Well, we survived and descended the mountain, and I returned to camp where I was working at the time in Yosemite and found a message on my cell phone. And it was a message from my mother, actually. And it was emotional, if matter of fact. And it said, she said, "Your dad collapsed in the race. He had a heart attack. He's in the hospital, but I think he's going to be okay." And so it's interesting, because it wasn't necessarily a surprise to me that I heard this news. It was a bit of a revelation, I suppose, for not only myself, but the family as a whole. My dad, he's kind of famous for failure. He was an incredible football player in high school in the very small town, a village actually of 500 in central Michigan, and was actually being recruited because he was breaking all the records as a quarterback. And then the season that the recruiters came, he busted both of his ACLs. And he was planning on being an architect and was really working towards that goal until at 17, he and his girlfriend became pregnant and had my half-sister, Shelly. So then he was going to community college and making it work, wanting to support his family and follow his dream. And then his wife left him for another man. And so then things were going pretty well. He'd done pretty well for himself by the time I came around. When I was in elementary school, he had a successful, if obscure, job as an estimator for the metal and glass on commercial buildings, and was very good at what he did. Until I came home from elementary school one day, my mom walked us home, and my dad was there on the couch crying, and there's a cardboard box with his things. And so that started what became 3 years of my family living on my mom's social work salary and my dad's paper runs and donations from church. And so this was his story. He could not get around these failures that kept happening. And I think it affected my perspective on him, actually. I remember about that same time in elementary school, my parents had a oversized antique dresser in their tiny bedroom, and I would sneak in there sometimes when they weren't around, and there was a picture of my dad, and he was also in elementary school at the time, and he also had blue eyes and pale skin and a sheepish grin, just like I did. But I denied that we were anything in common, and I denied that I would ever be this boy, and I had anything in common. I had noticed the crew cut that he had and in the picture, and the chubby cheeks from being overfed, and the hand-me-down 50s collared shirt, and so it also didn't help that he was into sports, and he tried to teach me how to play catch, and even bought me a mitt. And I veered away from the ball every time he threw it because of a famous incident when I was sitting in my mother's lap at 5 and got smacked by the softball that he had thrown during the softball game. And so it was just, we didn't click. And so it was a happy consequence that when I found running and began to run, mostly in spite of my brother calling me lazy, that I found both of my parents at my high school cross-country races cheering me on. And they were doing exactly what they knew how to do, which was cheering on their son in the high drama of high school sports. And it felt awesome. Until I started falling. And, as a freshman, I was doing pretty well. I had medals to account for myself, and my parents were hanging the medals up on the wall. And, I had the little picture with me kneeling in the grass in the practice field. But at the end of that year, I was running in the regional meet, and this meet was what qualified the runners for the state meet. And so I had been training hard, felt good. And a cross-country race is 5 kilometers long, or 3.1 miles. And I'd gone out fast and thought I could hold it. But then in the final 0.1 miles, I turned off. It was the strangest thing. My legs felt like lead. My arms grew slack, and there was this gradual grassy hill with the flags and the funnel of people cheering you on, and I collapsed halfway up the hill, and I was crawling, and someone passed me, and I kept crawling, and another person passed me, and then dozens of people were passing me, and I had been in qualifying position, but no longer was, and at one point, my coach was actually climbing over the flags to pick me up and carry me off. And my mom said, no, you'll get disqualified. But it didn't matter. I was disqualified anyway. And so I worked really hard till the next season and, just busted my butt and ran and was doing well until a unimportant invitational, and the same thing happened. It was so bizarre. And I actually was carried off on a stretcher in my tidy whities as the crowd was golf clapping. And and the doctors, they didn't have any answers for me. They diagnosed the symptoms. It was sports-induced hypoglycemia or heat stroke. It's like, thanks, docs. But I couldn't stop running, and so I trained hard the next year and my senior year, and worked really hard, just refused to collapse, and I didn't. I made it to the final meet, qualified, made it to states, and it was fantastic. But the interesting thing is that at the very same course, at the very same race where years prior I had collapsed, my dad in my senior year decided to run in the fun run. And he trained for it. It was after all the other races had finished. And I will never forget that moment when I saw him coming around that final bend up that grassy hill. And he was white and pale, arms slack and dragging his feet, and he collapsed on this same hill. My mom and I were there. We pulled him off, and it's just the most terrifying, terrible, embarrassing thing to see your dad fall. And so we stopped running after that. We both did. I found other ways to escape and went to college and traveled, and my dad, he stopped competing in sports altogether, and both of his sons were out of the house, and he was in his late 40s at the time of his collapse. He turned 50. Then he turned 60 and he still hadn't been running. And finally, he came out one summer to see me run in a race, actually here in Colorado. And it inspired him to start running again. And so it was no surprise that when he started running, he went all in and he ran himself into a heart attack. Which brings me back to that day, the day I got the call from my mom. The one thing I haven't told you about my dad yet is that he's incredibly dedicated and he is incredibly strong and he gets back up after he's fallen and failed over and over again. And I wasn't surprised that he got back up and started running again after his heart attack. He also has this certain rare naive kindness about him. And I think that's essential to him continuing forward. And so his goal after the heart attack was to get off his heart medication. And so a year and a half after his heart attack, he broke the hospital record for the stress test. The nurses forced him to stop at 23 minutes. And so he got off of his heart medication. And I mean, for one, I'm really so very proud of him. And for two, I know something very specific about my own heart and my own heart's defects. And I also know, I know the kind of man that I want to be someday. Thank you.